Recently, we have introduced the two-fluid description of plasma, where we describe the electrons and ions separately as two separate fluids that interact with each other through collisions and through electromagnetic fields. We'll now look into the dynamic solutions of the two-fluid description of a plasma, and we'll look at the we'll take the simplest version of the two-fluid model. We'll look for the waves in homogeneous isotropic plasmas and in cold plasmas. So let me write what kind of plasma we'll be looking at. We'll look at we'll derive waves, that's what we call waves in cold plasmas. We'll look at the homogeneous plasma. And isotropic plasma. If homogeneous and isotropic means, first of all, isotropic means that we do not have any preferred direction in the plasma. So you can first immediately think that we do not have the external magnetic field. So the dynamics of the electrons and ions is equally allowed in all the directions. And homogeneous plasma means that we will not consider now very strong gradients in any of the directions in plasma. Then we will look at the system where the electrons and ions interact only via electromagnetic fields. And these fields, they are self-consistent. What does it mean that they are self-consistent? That means that that means that they are being adjusted and they depend on the actual distribution and dynamics of the plasma particles. So for example, the electric field is due to the separation of the charge and distribution of the charge, and the magnetic field is due to the currents in the plasma. Since they are interacting only via electromagnetic fields, that means that we have no collisions. We are also looking at the homogeneous plasma, and we are also neglecting pressure. And finally, I mean, judging from the title, we are looking at plasma that is cold. So if we consider such a system where we have homogeneous plasma, isotropic plasma, where the electrons and ions interact only through the electromagnetic fields that are self-consistent, the system where we have no collisions, where we can neglect the pressure terms, and the system that we can describe as cold plasma, then we will get some waves that that we'll be referring to as waves in cold plasma. But first, before we go into further details, let us stop for a while and ask ourselves, what does it mean that we are looking at the cold plasma? And actually, what does it mean that we have no collisions and also no pressure terms? Basically, when you think of plasma, in the very beginning, we said that plasma is hot, that we need to have very high temperature to ionize the atoms to get to obtain free electrons and ions. So what does it mean that the term cold plasma seems a little bit strange, at least? So then what does it mean that temperature of plasma is equal to zero? When can we do that? Are we really thinking of the plasma that is very cold? Or are there any other conditions that can lead to temperature to be effectively zero? Then, what about the collisions? When can we put collisions to zero? When can we ignore collisions? We know that collisions are proportional to the plasma frequency, and the plasma number. So the frequency of collisions is proportional to the plasma frequency. And also from the diffusion, we know that collisions are actually important for slow phenomena. So important, collisions are important for slow phenomena. So likewise, you can think that if we now put, if we want to consider a system where we can neglect collisions, then we are actually, one way of neglecting collisions is to look at fast phenomena. So that for those phenomena, collisions are not important. If we are looking at very slow phenomena, such as diffusion, then we are actually focusing on the collisions. Finally, you can also notice that the temperature is proportional to the thermal velocity, at least the square of the thermal velocity. So the thermal velocity definition of the thermal velocity is the square root of kT over m. So the temperature is related to the velocity. Again, if we are looking at phenomena that are fast, then effectively we can put temperature to zero. So as long as omega over k, which is the characteristic velocity of our wave that we will be looking at, is much larger than the thermal velocity, then we can put temperature to zero in the equations. So that means for fast phenomena, we can use cold plasma approximation. So this is the basic introduction to the to our waves in cold plasma, the assumptions. And I think the most important is to remember that effectively, I mean, the temperature is there, the plasma is still hot, but we are looking at phenomena that are very fast, much faster than the thermal velocity of plasma. And effectively, this results in the temperature that we can put to zero in the mathematical expressions, in the equations for the two fluid approximation. So now let us take this two fluid model and write the continuity and momentum equation for the electrons and ions. What I will do, I will write them together. So these are actually two equations what I'm writing now. One equation that is related to subscript I for ions, and we have the same equation for the electrons. So basically, to avoid writing them twice, I write them with the double subscript. Then this should be IE. And we have the thermal velocity of ions and the thermal velocity of electrons. This gives us zero. And this is our continuity equation. Now for the momentum equation, we need to consider the mass of ions and electrons, the number density of ions and electrons. And then we have the temporal derivative, ions of electrons plus ions, electrons, ions, electrons. And then on the right hand side, we have the pressure of ions and electrons. And then we have plus or minus, depending on the charge, of times the number density of ions and electrons, and the Lorentz force, and the collisional term, where the collisional term is given by the proportionality constant, the product of the densities, and the difference in velocities. So now, this is our set of equations that, and of course, that is the basic one. And of course, in addition to that, we have the equation of state and Maxwell equations for the electric and magnetic fields. But now, since we are considering the cold plasma and also homogeneous isotropic plasma, there are some terms that can be neglected in this set of equations. So we are now looking at cold homogeneous isotropic plasma. By isotropic plasma, we can say that we are looking at unmagnetized plasma. And with this, we can, I mean, in this case, we can neglect magnetic field. We can also neglect the pressure gradient force. And collisions, collisional term. And that's because of our cold plasma approximation and the fact that we are looking at very fast phenomena. So the temperature goes to zero. And also we are looking at fast phenomena. Then what you can see is that when we now take this this approximation, there is a number of terms that actually we will disappear. So that's this one, the pressure gradient term, the second term in the Lorentz force, and the collisional term. So in the isotropic case, the even though that electrons and ions interact only via electromagnetic fields, then since we are considering unmagnetized plasma, what is only left is the electric field. Later on during the course, we'll also look at the magnetized case, and you will see also in the cold plasma approximation, which means that we will be looking at very high frequencies and very fast phenomena. But then you will see that the situation will be much more complicated mathematically because of the U cross B term. Then, since if we are looking at such a system, basically to find the dynamic solutions, we need to follow the same procedure as previously. We need to linearize, perturb the equations and linearize them. And we can first look, look at the momentum equation. And for the linearization, we will take that the velocity, background velocity, is zero. And the velocity will be the perturbation, basically related to the perturbation in the velocity. Then we'll also take that the background electric field is equal to zero, but we still can have the perturbed electric field, and that's because of our charges and that can be redistributed. We also said that we neglect that magnetic field. I should be more precise and should say that background magnetic field. That the background magnetic field is neglected, but still That implies that we have isotropic situation, but it turns out that we can have the currents in the plasma, and these currents can actually lead to some magnetic field that is due to the plasma dynamics. So formally, we can say that our background magnetic field is zero, but we still can have some magnetic field fluctuations. And now we can linearize this. Let's linearize the momentum equation. And it turns out that after linearization, this equation will be very short. So I can actually fit it here in this small box. And what we'll have is the electron density. I will now I will take the momentum equation first. We have the electron mass, we have ddt, and we have the electron velocity, and only actually the fluctuations that survive, and that's our left hand side. On the right hand side, since we are working in the cold plasma approximation, we do not have the pressure gradient force anymore. And on the right hand side, what is, I mean, we don't have also the collisional term. That's because of our assumption of fast phenomena and cold plasma approximation. And from the Lorentz force, the only term that survives is the minus E and E times the fluctuation in the velocity, in the electric field. And that's because the fluctuation, the second term, that will be the quadratic term, will have the small fluctuations in velocity times small fluctuations in the potentially existing magnetic field there, and they are be negligible in the linearization. We have a similar equation for the ions. We only need to change the subscript and keep in mind that the sign of the charge is different. And this is actually the same electric field that they are reacting to. So finally, you can see that we can divide, we can in principle divide both sides by the respective densities. And since we can in principle divide these two equations by the densities, by the respective densities, the continuity equation is not needed. So we can actually keep only the momentum equation later on in the further investigation. So since everything is so simplified, since we are in the cold plasma approximation, the continuity equation is not needed. And that's also related to the fact that actually when you look at the continuity equation, we also have the gradient in the density there. And we are in the cold plasma approximation where the density, the pressure of the density goes to zero as well. The gradient of the pressure goes to is negligible. However, we do not assume quasi-neutrality. We are looking at fast phenomena, and we have that the electric field that that is showing up in these equations, that can be created by the separation of the charge. So we are looking at quite fast phenomena. So the plasma can be in this wave motion can be driven a little bit away from the quasi-neutrality. This equation is not the second Newton law. You may think that, okay, we can divide it by the density, and then actually what we have is the something that is very similar to the Newton's second law, where it's the mass times the acceleration is equal minus E times E. But this is a partial derivative here. So you need to keep in mind that this is what this is the law, not for the particle, but for the field. We are looking at the field. We are taking at the velocity field. Our velocity is the function of the position and the temperature and the time. So now we have this two equations, and we can try to put them together. And actually, when you and try to find, try to relate them to the equation for the electric field and the magnetic field. So we can try to relate them to the Maxwell equations. And in fact, one way of doing that, and I think the correct way of doing that is to try to find the electric current that is related to the, and how it is related to the electric field. Because as you can see here, the only difference in the dynamics can be related to the velocity of the two fluids of the electrons and ions. So if we now want to find, we can basically find a current, and the definition of the current, electric current, is for the current density is the electric charge, the density, and the difference in the velocities. Assuming that the plasma is homogeneous and assuming that we have the same density, background density of electrons and ions. This is a general expression for the current, but now what we have in our equations are the fluctuations. So we need to, what we'll be looking at is actually the fluctuations in the current density. And we can now relate this current to the electric field. And the electric field fluctuations. And this we can do by putting together these two equations. And you can show and try it, try to do it yourself, in fact, because this is a good exercise, that the derivative of the current density, temporal derivative of the fluctuations in the current density are actually given by the E squared N zero and mass of the electrons, mass of ions, MEMEI, and the fluctuation in the electric field. where we take advantage of the fact that the plasma is homogeneous. So we have one background density for the plasma, and basically the differences are in the velocities. And then we can also write it as E squared N zero mu naught, not mu naught, but mu, and fluctuations in the electric field, where mu is a reduced mass, which is close to the electron mass, and we will also later on put it as a mass, only without any subscript. So try to obtain this equation at home and try to also get the reduced mass at home. So now we have put our two equations for the momentum together. And now what we have is the equation for the temporal derivative, time derivative of the current density, which is related to the electric field fluctuations. Now we should find the relation for the electric field. So how is actually our electric field varying? So we need to find relation for electric field. Fluctuations. And if I would ask you now, where can we find this relation? I hope that you will immediately answer. Let's take Maxwell equations and check if we can have some help from those equations. And indeed, we know from the Faraday's law that the rotation of the electric field is related to time derivative of the magnetic field. And we also know from the Ampere's law plus the displacement current that rotation of H is equal to J plus D dt, which is the same as writing it in explicitly in B and E electric field with all the constants, M J mu naught J plus mu naught epsilon naught dE dt. So you can notice immediately that our electric field can be related to the magnetic field, and magnetic field can be also related to the electric field and the current density. And that's our current, also our current density that we have found here, because the current is carried by the plasma. We can now put this two equations, the Faraday's law and Ampere's law, together. And we can do that by taking the cross product of the Faraday's law. If we now take the cross product of the Faraday's law, and I will be now looking only at the fluctuations, because this equation's Faraday's law will be, I mean, in our context, they will be valid for the fluctuations, because our background magnetic field and background electric field are equal to zero. Then I can write ddt B fluctuation and the cross product here. And later I can notice that what I actually get here in the Faraday's law, what I get in the parentheses, is included in our Ampere's law after we took the rotation. So then we can write that it's minus d dt mu naught j fluctuations minus mu naught epsilon naught, and the second time derivative of the electric field, fluctuations, again fluctuations. So we can organize it a little bit better, and what we can write here is mu naught d dt j minus 1 over c squared d dt squared and the fluctuation in the electric field, where I took this expression for the speed of light. So this is the equation that contains electromagnetic waves. Let me write the right-hand side as well, so that we have everything together. So this equation that we have now obtained contains electromagnetic waves. And if we now remove the plasma, if we remove the current, then it will be basically the electromagnetic wave equation. But now it is modified by the current. And this current is related to our plasma. So you can see that we have now found in this equation we have the time derivative of the current, and we can see that it is actually related to the electric field fluctuations and the background plasma density and the mass of the plasma. So this is the current that is due to the plasma motion, and we have already found it. So what remains is to put this current into our equation. So let us now do it. And when I do it, and also, yes, multiply by C on both sides, what I have is the following: En 0 epsilon naught m e plus d dt okay. So let me just a second. So you can see what I have done here now is to put these two terms on the left-hand side, and I multiply it also by C squared, both sides, and I have inserted J that we have that we have found earlier, and that's where we actually get epsilon naught, which is from C squared, and you can also notice that this term here is actually omega PE, which is a electron plasma frequency to the power of 2 squared for a reduced mass, in fact. So there's a plasma frequency for a reduced mass, which is very similar to the reduced mass. Let me just write for completeness the general expression where, so that we have it on one slide. Because this is the expression that is very useful to keep in mind. It's basically combined. This expression is the combined Faraday's and Ampere's equation, where we put them together. And the only thing that we had to modify it is, or actually what we had to do for this cold plasma approximation, waves in cold plasmas, is to put the appropriate expression for the current. And here we have found that the current density variation in time is related, is given by this simple simple expression where we just had to insert it into our general equation. But okay, now what we have a single equation where we have the spatial derivatives and we have the temporal derivative, and they are this equation is related to the perturbations, which are small perturbations. And now if we assume that these perturbations have, or that the solution is the planar wave, that this equation will have the planar wave solution, we can make a Fourier transform. And Fourier transform of equation, which is denoted with a star, assuming that we have I omega t minus kr, which gives us then that the temporal derivative will be exchanged with minus I omega, while the Nabla operator will be exchanged with ik. And that's relatively straightforward. We have done it several times already. So let me now write it here. What we'll have is c square k cross k cross e fluctuations which we can further write as c squared k dot product with the fluctuations in the electric field minus k squared fluctuations in the electric field. And on the right hand side, we'll have omega PE squared minus omega squared times fluctuations in the electric field. Here I have used the expression for the identity for the vector relations for the cross products, and so that's our backup expression. But what you can see here is that we have found a dispersion relation. So we have found the relationship between k and omega for any given fluctuation in the electric field.